Hey, welcome to Westside Church Podcast. We're so glad you've joined us today. Here at Westside, we're all about equipping believers to succeed in life and mature in Christ as they reach, win, and disciple others. In just a moment, you're going to hear an encouraging message. But before we get into it, if we can serve you in any way by helping you grow in your walk with God, we want to connect with you at wcspokane.com/connect. Fill that out, and someone from our team will reach out to you. Now let's get ready to study the Word together.
Today we're going to wrap up the series on hearing His voice, hearing the Lord's voice. And again, we can't exhaust this subject, but I believe we've covered what we needed to cover. And we're going to spend a little bit of time thinking about what it looks like to get into His presence, get into the presence of God where we can hear Him clearly. And that really is a key piece of this whole thing, bringing it back together, of hearing His voice, is we've got to be good at, as believers, finding that place where we enter into and step into His presence, where there aren't distractions, where we're not too busy, where we can really just get into a place where we can hear from Him. It's just way easier to hear when it's quiet around us. Have you guys figured that out? And so we're going to just touch on a few things. John chapter 10, verse 27 has been a text that we've been camping out in, just because it talks about Jesus being our shepherd. And 10:27 in John says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." So that scripture is something we can believe and quote for ourselves, that we are His sheep and we know His voice. That means we can follow Him. Amen? And so it's important that we recognize and remember that those are the words of Jesus, that He's calling us His sheep. And if we're saying He's our Lord, He's our Savior, He's our shepherd, then we can know His voice. And that's important that we do that. Amen? Psalm 23, again, it says, "The Lord is my what? He's my shepherd," right? "I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." It's Jesus, our shepherd, leading us and guiding us, and we know His voice. And we've got to believe that with everything in us if we're going to even begin to start to hear Him. Amen? It's just faith. It's faith in us saying, "I believe the Word. I am His sheep. I can know His voice, and I hear it. And when He speaks to me, yep, that's Him. That's You, Lord." Amen? And so it's good for us to remember to meditate and think about and speak these things, because then we'll realize that when the Lord is speaking, we're not going to get caught off guard. We're not going to get pulled away. Some folks have said, "Well, what if I'm hearing things and it's not of God? My sheep know my voice. And a stranger's voice they won't follow." Amen? And so you can tell by the voice. You can tell by the instructions that's of God or that is not. But we are His sheep. Are we His sheep? Come on, say it. I'm His sheep. I'm His sheep. And I know His voice. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Last week, we talked about Jesus being the only way. He's the only way to the Father. And He said in John chapter 10, verse 9, Jesus says, "I am the door. If anyone enters in by me, will be saved." Jesus was saying that He's the door of the sheepfold. He's the only way in. Only thieves and robbers try to climb up and come in another way. Jesus said, "I'm the door. I'm the only way in. And if you come in by Jesus, come in through the door of Jesus, you can enter into the Father." Again, back to the shepherd, right? We know Jesus. He is the only way. He's the only way. Everybody okay with that? He's the only way. In Acts, we saw that it seemed good to a couple of disciples to stay where they were or to go where they were sent. They just followed the Holy Spirit in just listening to the Lord and how it seemed on the inside. It just seemed right. It seemed good. And they followed that and they were following the Lord. We saw that in Acts chapter 22 or 21 that Agabus was a prophet, and that he interpreted the impression of the Holy Spirit in the right way, telling Paul, "If you go there, you'll be bound, you'll be chained." But he didn't interpret it and say, "Then don't go." He just said, "This is what's going to happen." And we've got to get good at, as believers, hearing and picking up impressions from the Holy Spirit and not putting our own slant and our own view and our own interpretation on it and making it something that it is not. We got to make sure we're hearing clearly and then following the instructions. Yay? Then in Acts 13, we saw that they ministered to the Lord and they fasted, and they were getting their hearts ready and prepared to hear from God so that He could give them instructions. Anybody try fasting this week at all? Anybody at all? Fasting, it can be a little difficult, can't it? On your flesh, you're like, Boy, I'm really feeling some eggs and some hash browns this morning, you know? I'm really feeling like a steak tonight. But the Lord, you know, will direct us in some ways and just say, you know, I think it'd be wise for you to skip a meal or two and just spend some time with me. And then that grumble in your tummy is a good reminder, like, oh yeah, I'm doing this for a reason. I'm not just busy skipping a meal for nothing. I'm doing this because I want to hear from him. Amen? And so if you want to hear from him, I encourage you to do that. We saw that Eli was trying to hear from the Lord from the first time as a young boy, and the Lord was speaking to him. And as he was instructed, he was told, speak, Lord, your servant listens, which is great instructions for us. When the Lord speaks, we can say, yes, Lord, I hear you. Your servant is listening, meaning I'm attentive and I'm ready and willing to obey. If he's going to talk to us, we've got to have our heart in a position in a place where we will receive it and obey. Elsewise, God in his mercy will pull back and he won't give us instructions we're not willing to obey. He wants to give instructions to people that are open and attentive and willing to step out in faith. Amen? So we're listening. Say it with me. I'm willing and I'm obedient. Amen. That's us. Amen. So let's start today just talking a little bit about being busy. Can we do that? Turn over to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. I realize in a group like this that there's going to be all kinds of different folks doing different things, talking about different things. I might have typed in 16, but I might have meant 6. Let me go back here. Yep, it's 6. Sorry, not 16. Mark 6. Mark chapter 6. Go back 10 chapters there. In a group this size, we got all type of personalities, work ethics, vulnerabilities, some OCD personalities probably, right? It's an interesting dynamic because in our culture, busy's almost worn like a badge. I've made an effort, I don't do it all the time, I've made an effort to not use the word busy. I try to use the word full. Life is full. It is. It truly is. Life is full. But you don't want to be busy just for the sake of being busy. And I think we get caught in this in a trap. As Americans, right, people that like to work, is that we get antsy when we get still and we got to stay busy. We get fidgety almost to a fault. And I think it's hurting us in some areas because we're not learning to rest and relax. You guys have heard of something called the Sabbath, haven't you? The Sabbath is a day where we're supposed to rest as Christians. And that doesn't mean our rest day is work playing all day, right? Some of y'all's, your hobbies, your play habits are work all day long, right? I mean, we got to get the boat out. We got to make the picnic lunch. We got to get to the place. We got to set up. We got to tear down. I mean, you spend half the day working instead of resting. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with this, but if you're going to get a rest day in that's really good for you, good for your soul, good for your family, good for your relationship with the Lord, you got to find ways to recreate that don't require a lot of energy. That was really quiet. There's got to be a way where we can, you know, it wasn't very long ago, not too many decades ago, where the folks, you know, at the end of the day or on their Sabbath day would just sit on the porch and relax most of the day. That's what they did. Not every day, but that day a week, there was nothing else going on. What are you doing? We're just relaxing. We're sipping lemonade. We're enjoying the outside. Might take a country drive. Might go for a walk. Might take the kids to the park. Might go somewhere and just relax. There's something about that that gets the too busy off our plate that's really good for our soul and it's good for our spirit. It really is. And it takes effort because when you work like crazy for 5 days a week and then you go home to the farm or the ranch or the house and you've got a list a mile long, come on now, it's hard to lay that stuff down. Now, I want to encourage you in this that God will show you exactly how to recreate. He will show you exactly where to rest. I don't believe it has to fall on a specific day of the week. I just believe 1 out of 7 ought to be a day where we just take a break and let your mind and your body rest. And it's better for us because we can hear from the Lord better when we learn how to do that. If you could figure out how to do that for a whole day, you could figure out how to do that for 15 minutes in the morning or 15 minutes in an evening. Just rest. Just relax. Just focus on him. Amen? Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Where are we at? Mark 6? Mark chapter 6. verse 31, and Jesus said to them, "Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest for a while." For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. Jesus recognized in a window of opportunity where they were ministering and they were doing a lot, he grabbed his disciples and he said, "Come along with me. Let's pull aside. Let's set aside to a deserted place and gather some rest." And then they actually put out with a boat. So boating is biblical on a rest day. They put out in a boat and they were headed to a deserted place. They were going to a deserted place. Now, if you keep reading, the people knew where they were going and they actually ran ahead and met Jesus where they were going. But Jesus' intent was, "I need to get the guys away. We need to go to a place where we're not getting pulled on by a bunch of stuff, and we need to just rest." Amen? And even though, as you keep reading, it didn't work out like that, you can see Jesus' intent was that's where he was going. And he's telling us the same thing. You get to a place where you're getting pulled on by a lot of different things, you need to come aside. You need to pull aside. You need to rest. Thank you, Lord. It's good preaching, Pastor. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Verse 38. Thank you, Lord. Now, this is familiar. "Now, it happened as they went that they entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me.' And Jesus answered and said, 'Martha, Martha, Martha, Martha.'" If he says your name twice, come on, you better pay attention right now because he's about to tell you something. "You are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her." There's something about getting too busy and distracted with stuff that'll keep you from receiving from him in the time you're supposed to be receiving from him. And so I just want to encourage us this morning is getting away from the too busy mindset, and you can do it. Listen, no matter what your personality is, no matter what you've trained yourself to do, to just be go, 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 go. I mean, I've talked to some of you, and you're all like, "Man, I just can't sit still. My mind just gets going. I got to get up. I get fidgety." Listen, I understand, but it takes training to teach yourself to sit still. You can be busy 6 days a week. You can get into stuff and get projects done and be after it. But there's a day of the week where it's family time, where it's rest time, where it's quiet time, where it's relaxed time. There's a day of the week. Amen? And it's good for us. And if we'll make a purpose to follow the instructions of the Lord and do that, you'll get more done in 6 days of the week than you ever could in seven. I promise you that. I promise you that. Amen? Thank you, Lord. So Jesus was instructing Martha, come on now, there's something better that Mary has chosen, and it won't be taken away from her. In Matthew chapter 6, 33, another familiar passage, says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Now, he's not telling you not to plan. He's telling you not to worry, right? Come on, he will help you tomorrow with the work you have to do. But right now, let's just focus on the day. And since we're talking about a rest day, come on, let's just rest in the rest day. If you spend your rest day planning your other 6 days, you're not really resting, right? You're thinking, you're stewing, you're doing busy work. I think this is, I found this valuable even in my own life, is to write some things down, to make a list, get it out of your head and onto paper. Because if you're like me and it's just in my head, I keep kind of reiterating the list to make sure I don't forget something. And then when I get to something in the list, I think of, oh yeah, I need to do these things. And if I don't write them down, it plays on repeat, like your favorite song or whatever just keeps going around and around. And you never really get to rest your mind and put your attention on the Lord. So I'm encouraging you in just a few ways. Joshua 1:8 says, another one, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and have good success." Just having the word on your heart and meditating is something that will help turn things around as well. Thank you, Lord. So in Matthew 11, and I'll just read this to you in the message. They'll put it up. Matthew 11, 15 through 17. I like this in the message. It says this, "Are you listening to me? Really listening?" How can I account for this generation? The people have been like spoiled children whining to their parents. We want to skip rope, and you are always too tired. We want to talk, but you are always too busy. Parents, come on now. If you've been a parent for very long in this culture, it's real easy to get too busy. And your kids need your attention and your time, too. And there's just things in life that are more important. So we're going to focus on that. So let's look at how to do that. Let's turn over to Psalm chapter 1. We're going to fly through some verses in Psalm chapter 1, but we'll start, in Psalms chapter 1. You ever been driving and your brain was on something else, and you passed your exit, you passed your turnoff, you blew it like 2 miles ago, and you're like, wait a minute, where am I going? And sometimes when you're on the freeway and you miss an exit, that can be a very long detour depending on where you're at. There's just something about making sure our attention's on the right stuff, because if we are focused on the wrong stuff, you will miss some exits that the Lord has for you. If we're too busy sometimes, we're distracted by other things. Come on, even, you know, having a conversation in the car or listening to something on the radio or podcast on your cell phone, something where you just get distracted and you're not paying attention. Even things that are on the outside look very good or very spiritual, we can get distracted and miss God leading us, guiding us, trying to get us to get off the freeway and take a certain road. I'm talking this metaphorically. You know, there are exits the Lord has for us in our lives that we're supposed to take that we can miss if we're too busy. We can miss relationships if we're too busy, if we're too overwhelmed, if we've got too much on our plate. We can miss things God has for us that take a while to get off and come back around to. So it's important that we pay attention. Yay? Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. So just for a couple of minutes, we're going to look at meditating on the word and what that looks like. This scripture in verse 2, it says his delight, his excitement comes from, his joy comes from the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates, he imagines day and night. Meditation in the Hebrew, when you meditate, means actually to mutter or to speak quietly to oneself, to yourself. So opportunities where you have scripture kind of rattling around in your head or things God's put on your heart, when you speak these things out loud, this muttering, this meditation is, you're saying it back to yourself, right? So all those people that we call crazy in the stores that are just walking around talking to themselves, they might just be meditating. They might just be, we don't know what they're saying, but the Lord's asking us is to meditate in his word. Imagine what it looks like to have yourself inserted into scripture, inserted into the promises of God, inserted into wisdom and to revelation, things he's speaking to you about from the word of God. You imagine what it looks like for you to walk in that promise, in that blessing, in that provision, in that direction, in that understanding. You begin to imagine yourself meditating on and thinking about, what does it look like for this scripture to be alive and fulfilled in my life? That's meditating on the word of God. Thinking about it, pondering it, speaking the word back to yourself. This is meditation. This is what God was challenging Joshua to do in Joshua 1:8. This is what God is telling us in Psalms chapter 1, that if you will meditate on the word of God, find scripture that fits whatever you're dealing with right now. Find scripture that fits the need you're facing right now. Find scripture that's ahead of where you are right now. Things you want to go after in the kingdom of God. Things you want to achieve in the kingdom of God. Things that God has placed on your heart to walk out in this life. You begin to find scripture for those things, and you begin to meditate on and think about those things and imagine yourself walking and living and doing the very thing that God's telling you in the scripture. There's a lot of promises in this book. I mean, thousands of promises in this book. The Lord maketh rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. He is the God that healeth thee. Come on, he is so full of promises that peace follows us, that favor follows us, the blessing of the Lord follows us. There's so many scriptures of promises that what does it look like to be a follower of Jesus and have the blessing follow me? Like every time I turn around, something good's happening. It's why? Because it's following me everywhere I go. Everywhere my foot treads, there's blessing where I go. What does that look like? There's not a lot of people on the planet, and I'm being very honest and blunt here. There are not a lot of people on the planet that do this on a regular basis. And I'm talking about Christians that know better. Some that don't, some that do. Do not put the word in. Do not meditate on. Do not imagine what it looks like for the word of God to be working and alive in my life every single day I'm breathing on this planet. To meditate and think about what that looks like. We get caught in too busy. We get caught in the rush, the bustle and hustle of life. We get caught just go, 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 fix, 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 do, 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 do. And we don't take the time to meditate. What does it look like? What does it look like to have the word of God working in my life on an everyday, regular basis? There are people that do this, and the word is working for them. Come on, I've seen this in my life. The things that I've meditated on and pondered and thought about according to scripture, God has brought to pass in my life. I know it works. There are things I'm meditating on and thinking about in this season right now that I know are working on my behalf right now. Not just things and stuff, but like milestones to achieve in spiritual development and growth. Things to do and to achieve in the kingdom of God for his glory, not for mine. One of those things you have to think about and meditate on if you're going to achieve for the glory of God. Did you know that? He won't just cause it to happen to you because you love him. It works. The word works in our lives because we're willing to put the word in and meditate on it. Think about it. Let it stew and chew on the inside where we imagine that very promise of God, the very words that he spoke into our heart coming to pass. Abraham, when he got the promise, walked outside any night he wanted to, and all he had to do was look up and see the stars. And they didn't have big city lights back then, so pretty much anywhere you were living, you could walk outside and see a tremendous display of stars. And he could look up and be reminded of the promise of God and go, God said, my descendants will be as many as that and more. Come on, when he's walking on the beach, just recreating with his family, kicking sand with his sandals, looking at some sand and going, God said, my descendants will be as many as the sand of the seashore. He was imagining what that would look like if he would obey God. Amen? Amen? There's things he's spoken to us in the word. There's things he wants to say to you specifically about your family, about your job, about your business, about your place, about your position in the kingdom of God. There's things he wants to impart to you that he wants you to stew on, to meditate on, to think about, to imagine what it looks like to be fulfilling that in your life in this time. And watch God be able to work because we're willing to do that. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Psalm 19, verse 14 says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. Come on, what are you thinking about? What are you meditating on? What are you imagining? Is it the worst case scenario? Come on, you got to check yourself on that. Don't use your imagination to come up with the worst case scenario. Are you serious? I mean, all you got to do is go to the doctor for that opinion. But if you pull back from that, start imagining the best case scenario. Start imagining what it looks like for this to turn out completely good and all for God's glory. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart please you, God. Is he pleased with worst case scenario thinking? Is he pleased with worst case scenario talking? I would say no. And if our answer to that is, well, I'm just a pessimistic person by nature. I just can't help it. Yes, you can help it. I mean, we are instructed in the Word of God to not be conformed to the world, but transformed by renewing our mind. Which means all of us can be positive thinkers. All of us can be Word of God thinkers. It's work for most of us because we've trained ourselves, right? In some cases, we trained ourselves to look to the worst case, to not look to the bright side, to be pessimistic. We trained ourselves to go there. Well, I'm just being realistic, Corey. I'm just planning for the worst and hope for the best. What? Come on now, there's a better way to do things in the kingdom of God. And we want our words and our meditation to be pleasing in God's sight. And when we meditate and speak according to his words, he's pleased with that. If we're going to please him, we got to speak and operate in faith. And that requires us to talk the word of God. That requires us to think about the word of God. This applies in marriages between you and your spouse. How you think about your spouse, how you talk about your spouse, how you talk to your spouse. This applies. This applies in parent-child relationships. How you think about your kids, how you talk about your kids. This is important. You need to imagine good things for your kids, not worst case scenario. You need to imagine good things for your spouse. Amen? Think about and talk about them in a positive light. You begin to do that, things begin to change. I'm telling you right now, it's a spiritual law. Amen. Thank you, Lord. That went over like a lead balloon, as my mom would say. Psalm 46, verse 10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." Be still and know that I am God. I love the be still part. Come on, some of you need to hear this morning. Be still. Be still. I don't know how. Be still. It's a practice. It's an effort. I mean, good golly, Miss Molly, if you can just sit still for a few minutes, just start with that. It is effort. The enemy, I'm telling you, has gotten really good, especially in our society. And I realize this is a lot of first world problems, but the enemy has gotten good in our society of keeping us busy. I mean, you can have, and I've done this, and you've done this, and we got to make sure we don't do this, but I've been in good conversations with either friends, family, my wife, and God forbid your phone start buzzing or give you that little text message notification. I mean, some of y'all got some problems. I mean, you get the shakes. It could be important. It could be the kids. It could be the... hold on one second. Oh, it's nothing. It's nothing. They're just dominoes. It's got a sale. Go ahead. Go ahead. I mean, this is a work and a practice for us to be able to give attention, to give focus, to give people our eyeballs and our ears without the distraction. I mean, we're in a world of busy, busy, busy. And the enemy has done a good job of keeping us busy, keeping us doing quote-unquote good things, productive things, and we're missing what he wants to tell us. We're missing windows of opportunity to speak into people's lives, to be at the right place at the right time because he's leading us. We're just busy. Be still. Everybody say, be still.
Be still.
Come on now. And then you just sit there and you know, God is on the throne. And he's good. And I can just sit here for a handful of minutes and just be still and know God is God and he's got it. And I'm not missing out on anything. I'm right where I'm supposed to be, right here, right now, hearing from him, relaxing in his presence, listening for his voice, enjoying his creation. Amen.
Amen.
Come on, we live in a beautiful part of the world. Did you know that? Yeah. I mean, we live in an astounding, beautiful place of the world. And there's something about getting outside and just enjoying the mountains and the trees and the rivers and seeing God's creation. And I encourage you to do that. Sometimes it's a good thing to get out of cell phone coverage and just rest. It does something for you. Amen. Psalm 49:3, my mouth shall speak wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall give understanding. The meditation of my heart will give understanding. Think about that. What we meditate on, especially according to Scripture and what God said, will bring understanding into our life. Some of the things we've been fussing and fuming over and trying to figure out will just come into our understanding by being still and resting with him. You'll just get answers you've been fighting for a while because you've been busy. Everybody okay with this? I mean, is there anybody in the house you have found this to be true? You got quiet, you got still, you finally ran out of gas and got quiet. And then the answer just, there it is. I mean, come on now. This is a principle from the Word of God that plays out in real life if we'll get still and hear from him. Thank you, Lord. Psalm 63, verse 6, when I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. Because you have been my help, therefore in the shadow of your wings I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you, your right hand upholds me. Listen to what this guy's meditating on, this psalm right here. He says, I'm in my bed, I'm resting, and I remember you, I meditate on you in the night watches. Because you have been my help. He's meditating that God's been his help. He's under the shadow of his wings. I'm rejoicing in him. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. That's a good meditation. Where are you in this life when you're following the Lord? You're right in his hands. That's a great place to be. That's a great meditation of your heart. Come on, turmoil all around you. Don't know what to do. We got to make some choices. God, we need decisions. We need understanding. Help us. Father, I thank you that I'm in the shadow of your wings. I rejoice in your presence. Thank you for upholding me with your hand. You know exactly what I should do, and I'm going to rest, and I'm going to look to you because I know your voice. Come on, you get way more answers when you're at rest and when you're at peace. Amen? Amen? When is it that you finally find that lost thing? When you finally laid down the looking for it, and you've just let it go, and then it just turns up. Come on, God wants to do some stuff in us through rest, through thinking and meditating on him and his word, thinking like this, you are my help. You uphold me with your hand. I rest in the shadow of your wings. Thank you, Lord. Amen. 71 verse 24, my tongue shall also talk of your righteousness all day long. Back to meditation. Meditation is the very definition, is to speak or to mutter to oneself under your breath, to regurgitate those good, righteous, godly, scriptural thoughts back up and under your breath, speaking to yourself. My tongue shall speak of your righteousness all day long. This is a habit that is not easy to come by. It is a habit that is purposeful and intentional, where we say, I'm going to put the word of God in my mouth. If it's one verse for the whole week, I'm going to memorize it, I'm going to study it, I'm going to meditate on it. And when I am out and about, when I'm even doing the things that I'm doing, I'm going to meditate on it and I'm going to speak this back into my own spirit. I'm going to hear myself speak the words of God, meditating on the words, looking for wisdom and understanding from the word of God. This is a principle that will last you your whole life. If you want it to reap dividends in you, do this one. Amen. Everybody okay? 77 verse 12, I will also meditate on all your work and talk of all your deeds. And talk of all your deeds. Thank you, Lord. May my meditation, chapter 104, verse 34, may my meditation be sweet to him. I will be glad in the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Meditating on the word of God, meditating on the Lord. And then just a couple of scriptures on waiting on the Lord. Psalms 27 verse 14 says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Chapter 16 verse 11, you will show me the path of life, and in your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. In your presence is fullness of joy. Amen. Come on, this is the place God wants us to get to as believers, where we can take time out, set it aside, get quiet, get undistracted, turn off the phone, turn off the TV, turn off the radio, get everything out of reach where you can't even hear it ding or buzz, and get into a place where you can have a moment of solitude and quiet. Some of y'all with kids, this is going to be late at night or early in the morning. And the rest of you, come on, there's opportunities all day long. There's opportunities to just get quiet and get into and wait on the presence of the Lord, because in his presence is fullness of joy. There's something about hearing the voice of God where we'll relax and we'll rest and we'll get quiet, that we can hear from him. Amen? Amen. There's things God wants to show us, speak to us, get us excited about, that he's trying to get to us, but we've just been too busy. And I would encourage you to go home and hammer this out with your family, hammer this out with your spouse. If it has to be a revolving day, that's fine, but put it in the calendar. Make days during your week. Make this day a day of rest where you truly just take time to rest and let God speak to your heart. Let your body rest. Let your mind rest. Meditate on the things of God. Watch what God will do with that kind of a commitment. It's amazing. It's amazing. Everybody okay? Thank you, Lord. It'll help you. In his presence is the answer. Time with him is the key to success. It's the key to peace. Time with him is the answer. It's the key to success. It's the key to peace. Time with him. Everybody say time with him. Come on, that's it. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for joining us today. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, we want to chat with you and help you in your walk with God. We invite you to connect with us at wcspokane.com/connect, and someone from our team will be in touch with you. You can also hit the subscribe button so you don't miss any new content in the future. Thanks again for joining us, and remember, Jesus is coming soon.